Je me baladais sur l'avenue, le cœur ouvert à l'inconnu. J'avais envie de dire bonjour à n'importe qui. N'importe qui, et ce fut toi. Je t'ai dit n'importe quoi. Il suffisait de te parler pour t'apprivoiser.
Hello and good evening. This is Douglas Bowles, and I'm doing another quick and dirty 42 minutes today to get to the bottom of the Olympia Sync Summit. And I have the good fortune today of meeting JJ Draw, who not only was this his first sync event, but it's his first time to the United States. And so I thought this is the perfect person to talk to get his impressions about meeting all these people that he's only known from the computer. Hi,
yeah. Hey.
How are you doing?
Great. It's awesome to be here in US and meeting everybody. It's awesome.
And so, when did your adventure begin? When did you start?
I think it was like 3 years ago when I started to become into the sync community, you think you're talking about?
Let's do both.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So
how did you find us?
Oh, I was heavily researching into all the conspiracy subjects.
Yeah.
Since maybe 7 years, and in the same time I was learning English. So it took me a long time to understand the sync way of thinking, because I started to read blog posts and stuff, but I didn't really understand what they meant. I thought it was conspiracy in the first place, the sync blogs and all the sync posts. I thought it was I didn't get it in the first place, but one day, as I was listening to Freeman Fly's radio show,
sure,
I heard Alan, who came into the air, and he started to explain the difference between synchronicity and conspiracy. And the way he was explaining the thing really spoke to me, and I felt like I was in the same way of thinking, but I didn't. I'm sorry. I don't know how to explain. I'm sorry.
This is all right. You're doing great.
Good. Can you ask me some questions?
Sure. So you heard Alan, and it was the way your brain worked, but you didn't necessarily have the language, or
because at that time I was translating conspiracy videos, okay, and so I was learning English at the same time, and
but so what is Alan, what part of you does Alan speak to that opens up something that the conspiracy videos don't do for you?
Because it was too much. I was in a paranoid state.
Okay, sure.
And I wasn't really good with that, you know.
Yeah. It feels bad.
Yeah, exactly. And so when he came and he started to, something popped up in my mind, and I said, okay, this is how I think.
When you found Alan and he's talking, this is the same way your brain works, and you're like, oh,
exactly.
Yeah. And is that how you felt when you got to Olympia and you're around all these people that, oh my gosh, all these people think and talk the same way I do?
Yeah. It's crazy, because, my only relation to the sync stuff, is through internet, and I can't speak to in France. Nobody understands me. And they basically think I'm crazy.
Right.
And they don't speak English. And to explain that way of thinking into French is really, really hard. Really hard. And So meeting all those people is surreal for me.
Cool. So then when did you get to the States, and did you go anywhere before you got to Olympia?
No, never. I've
No.
never been in US before.
So this is your
Never.
first time in the US,
Yeah.
and you fly directly from what?
I flew from Paris to London and
Yeah.
then to Seattle. And from Seattle, I get to Olympia.
Yeah. And so was Alan the first person you met when you got?
No, it was David Plate
Cool.
and Violet Orelsponn.
And they were at the airport to pick you up, or how did
Yeah,
that?
they were waiting for me and yeah.
Wait, did I see someone? Was you were holding a sign that said MK Ultrasound?
Yes and no. I created. I made this paper, but I didn't use it to meet him because I recognize him. It was just for the fun, you know. It's kind of a joke.
You're
It
at the
was
airport with a sign that says MK
MK
Ultrasound. Yeah.
Ultrasound.
Cool. And so, what do you think of Olympia and the climate and the geography?
It's really cute, and the weather is warm, and I know it's a beautiful city, really, really beautiful city.
Yeah.
I don't think that it really, really represents US, or it's not really as I represented US in my mind.
Sure.
And but I like it. I really, really like it. And even now, when I'm in Portland, and this is a gorgeous city too.
Yeah.
I could live here easily. It's even better than France to me now. It's more quiet, people are kind, and
Are then you live in Paris?
yeah.
Yeah.
I've been living in Bordeaux for 7 years, and now since 3 weeks, I came back to Paris.
And then, do you personally know Guillaume, or do you only know him through the internet? Have you met
Yeah,
him? And how?
no. Never. That's really weird. Yeah, we never met, but he lives in a city called Lyon,
Yeah.
and so it's not so close to my home, so we never had the chance to meet.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But we always in communication, you know. We always
Sure.
talk to each other. We are really, really close friends now, even if we never met.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Yeah. There's probably more of you guys out there. We just have to find you. In France, sink heads.
No, we
No.
are on
That's it. There's only two of you.
the see, yeah there is one guy one other guy who has a French sing blog,
Yeah.
but he discovered all those sing stuff through the videos I translated, because I also translated sing videos into French, and so he discovered that through my videos, so
Huh, yeah, that's really interesting.
yeah.
Okay, so then you meet Violator and David Plate, and what do you think of those guys?
Oh, they are nice.
Yeah?
Great guys, yeah.
Yeah. And so is this Friday that you meet them, or Thursday?
Yeah, this is Friday. Yeah.
Friday. And
Yeah.
then you guys go from SeaTac to the, what is it, Last Word Bookstore? Do you?
Yeah, exactly.
And
Yeah.
then, so I talked to William Morgan this morning, and he didn't get there until late Friday night. But who was all at the bookstore?
There were Michael Shaft,
Yeah.
so Alan and his wife, and I don't really remember actually, but we weren't so. There wasn't a lot of people, I think, in the first day. I don't really remember, I'm sorry.
It's a lot. You've just.
Yeah, I have a lot of information in my mind. I
Right,
feel
right.
kind of hard, and this was the first day, so I was jet lagged, you know. So
Yes, 'cause you
there's
guys
a
are 7 hours difference.
nine,
Nine.
yeah. And the travel were was I traveled for 11 hours,
Wow.
so I was yeah. I was sleeping during the Radio 8-Ball show.
Oh, you were?
Which is kind of sad. Yeah, I missed it.
All of it?
So, not all of it, but...
Did you pass out at the Rhythm and Rye venue, or did you go back to the Fertile Grounds and go to sleep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They went to eat on the at the restaurant, but I couldn't. I was sleepy.
Yeah, I understand. So then, overall, over the whole course of the Sync Summit, what are the things that stand out? The things that you're going to remember forever. What are your big memories?
You were talking about the Sync Summit.
Yeah.
Oh. I remember, I mean, this is a whole, you know, this is the fact of coming here into US and being into, meeting everybody and kind of, I'm sorry, it's kind of hard for me. I have a question. Is it really live, like live, or you will cut something? Because it's too gallant, you know. I feel like it's kind of cheesy.
You're doing great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I should have to probably prepare something. Yeah, I really enjoyed basically everything. Scott on Stott was awesome. Marty Leeds. Will Morgan, too. It was really funny. Even if I smoked some weed and...
that's something...
I don't really remember everything. Yeah, that's something which is cool here in Olympia. It's that you can smoke. And it's cool.
And so, I mean, that's something that Will and I didn't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So there was weed at the Sync Summit then, because it's legal in Washington.
Yeah.
And so what time did you wake up? Did you hang out Friday night with everyone later, or were you down for the whole night?
Yeah, Friday night I slept for like 10 or 11 hours. Because of the time difference,
yeah.
I had to sleep. No,
yeah.
No, Friday night I didn't do anything.
And then did you wake up early Saturday morning?
Maybe at 10 or something like that.
Okay.
So not so early.
Not so early.
No.
And then what did you think about Andras Jones' Tree of Life?
Oh, it was awesome. Awesome. Because I really enjoy studying Kabbalah and stuff like that, so it was really, really great. Yeah, it was awesome. Took us on a tour through the whole his whole world. I don't know how to explain.
Yeah.
He take us to the tour on this tour, and it was great. Yeah.
And so then, who were the people that you connected with, and who were you hanging out with most of the weekend?
I mean, everybody. I don't usually speak so much, so I kind of spoke to everybody, basically everybody. Like,
And so you've had a good experience.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome.
And what do you say to people who didn't go?
Sorry?
And what would you say to the people who didn't go?
Oh, that they missed an awesome event, and I did the effort to come from France, and so they should have done the same thing, because...
May we ask how much that cost? It was a lot, right?
Oh, yeah, it was a lot, yeah. Like 1,000 euros.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But Yeah, the way I managed to come here was kind of funny because I managed to earn a lot, kind of lot of money in a short amount of time, and it was only 2 weeks ago that I was sure that I could be here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, do you have any really like sink moments that really like here?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like when you were younger, like, oh my gosh, this is something that changes my whole life, or even this weekend.
Oh, when I was supposed to come on the 7th, and which is my birthday, by the way. I was
Oh.
supposed and but when I came into the to the airport in Paris, there was a computer issue, and so I wasn't able to get in the plane, and that plane was the plane 333. So, and on the next day, when I took my plane, I watched my card and I see that my seat it was the 33. So it started like
And so you were
that.
seeing 33s.
Yeah.
Because Will was saying that Scott Onstott had 33s,
Yeah.
and then there are 33s on all your beer bottles.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't remember. Yeah. And the city I lived, the Bordeaux, the zip code is 33 too.
Huh.
So, yeah.
So are you Illuminati?
Maybe.
I hear other people laughing in the background. Who is there with you, JJ?
There's Alan, Ezra, and Melissa.
And you guys traveled to Portland today?
Yeah, it took us on a tour to see Portland, and it's great. I want to live here, actually.
Have you seen the American show Portlandia?
No.
Okay, well, they make fun of Portland in that show a little
Okay.
bit.
No, I never see it. No, never. A little bit.
On that show. They're from here, though.
So, Ezra and Alan, did you guys have a good time? What do you think of JJ?
Oh, hold on, coming. JJ's awesome. Yeah, no, we're so glad he's here, and it's been such a pleasure having him. For real, and Melissa and I are very lucky. We get to keep JJ for about a week after the summit. He's going to travel with us, so we hung out in Olympia, then we came down to Portland. Tomorrow we're going to go to Eugene and see Marty Leeds, and then we'll go further and we'll see we'll go down to Santa Cruz and see David and Joe again, and we're going to just do a little road trip with JJ, so it's we're very lucky.
How does this compare to the other events that we've been to?
This was, I mean, you have to understand, I have a very different experience than everyone else. I
Yeah,
didn't,
you were working.
I was working. I didn't, I perceived, I observed the event through the lens of an employee of the greater good. I can honestly say that throughout the weekend, I would stop what I was doing and look around the room and see, these little moments where Steve Wilner and Scott Onstott are sitting there having a conversation, and then look over and see there's James Evan Pilato and Will Morgan having a conversation, and there's these two having, just like, and look around the room, and it was just like so incredible to watch and just to observe all these people just hanging out and laughing together. And there's the part of me that was like, oh man, I want to be in that conversation so bad. And at the same time, just being this kind of ghost or fly on the wall that walked through it and was working around it
Right.
was really, really amazing. Like no joke, I felt so happy just to every time I saw that. It was just like, it probably sounds like cliche or something, but there were multiple times that like my eyes got misty. I was like, this is fucking awesome just to watch these people, like watching this happen.
And so, what about you produced, this is your third event you produced. You produced New York, and you produced, you helped do Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
What is the workload like, putting on a whole...
This was massive. This was like massive, much more work, but also a much bigger event. And I mean, I was lucky enough to have Andras did a ton of work on this as well. Andras and I busted our asses for this, so he gets a ton of credit as well. But this was pretty epic. Like, I have to say, it was a lot of people there, and I mean, it's not like we had like 200 people. But we had a really good amount of people. We had a lot of stuff going on. It was just super jam-packed. We would, like, do a little event, then everyone would be hanging out. Then we go to lunch. Then we do more events. And then we this. And it's like, it was really full, and no one wanted to sleep. And then you know how it is. Yeah. Everyone's up all night, and then you wake up. You go to sleep for a few hours, and you wake up, and there's more happening. And
awesome. And then what about personally yourself? What kind of sinks were coming at you? But what sinks did you collect on your Whirlwind Sink Tour of the country, number one? And then number two, you know, what kind of things were you picking up on in Olympia? Anything?
I mean, yeah, there was some sort of thing of, as you say, collecting sinks as I went around the country was kind of really accurate. Like
discussed this morning that you, this is part of a huge trip that you just took where you met.
Wes and I have been on the road for over a month now. Actually, no, today marks exactly 1 month that we've been on a road trip for 1 month and meeting all these different sink heads. We got to meet Bill Klaus in Chicago and Jake Kotz up in Winnipeg. We saw you in Idaho and Mike Cleland in Idaho. We saw Will Morgan in Denver. We've been all around, and being able to do that, it's amazing. Is someone tells me about something, and then I go to the next place, and they're talking about that, or whatever it is. It's like really, everyone's sinks started to kind of stick on to me. So I brought some strange magic to Olympia.
Yeah, I think so. Well, so one of the interesting things that I didn't put together when I was talking to Will this morning was, his flights definitely had a 42 feel to them. Mm-hmm. So he flew out of gate A42, which is 142, and he flew on flight 143, and he flew back on flight 142. And so he was definitely feeling this 42, which is not strange. You know, this is one of those common things. But I realized, and I don't know if you realize this, that Washington is the 42nd state.
Oh, of course. All right.
And then one of the things I learned when I was doing a little research was that there are actually 42 steps to the Olympia State House, which is bizarrely interesting to me.
Yeah.
Were you seeing 42s or?
I did notice. I mean, for whatever reason, that's never really caught my attention. The 42s have never really...
Right,
like you're jumped out at me, but Will Morgan took a great picture. Is I'm talking to Will, and I'm at this point I'm like shit ass tired, and we're standing outside this bar, and I'm like just talking to him, and I'm leaning on this parking meter, these two parking meters, these like a set of double parking meters, and I'm just leaning on it, talking to him. I'm just tired. I'm just gonna leaning on this thing. And he's just like smiling, and then he like keeps poking people and pointing at me, and he grabs a camera and takes a picture. I'm like, what is it? And the two parking meters both said like 42 on them. So I'm just leaning on this 42, but not even aware that I'm doing it. So the 42 is probably always around me. It's just not something I tune into normally. Yeah. Except for 42 minutes. I tune into that regularly.
Is Ezra still back there listening?
Ezra is kind of asleep, I think.
Oh, that's okay. Oh,
he's not asleep. He's not asleep.
Ezra, what did you tell us about Alan
just
was...
I'm not asleep doesn't mean I'm available.
he's laying on the couch with his eyes closed. He said, just because I'm not asleep doesn't mean I'm available to get up and talk.
So Alan was working. JJ slept through the Radio 8 Ball. I need to know the pictures that I've seen so far are so epic. Just give us a feel of what the Radio 8 Ball was like.
Oh, the timing is perfect.
Yes, who could tell us about the Radio 8 Ball show?
Hello.
Andres can't. He wasn't there.
I can tell. Well, I have video, and I produced the whole thing, so I can certainly give you the rundown on what happened. Although not as good as, I mean, yes, I can't give you the audience perspective. But yeah. Are we in the middle of recording something at this point?
We are.
Am I jumping in the middle?
You are perfectly jumping in the middle. We have Andras Jones on this 42 minutes wrap up of the Olympia Sing Summit 2014.
Okay.
Did you have a good time? Did you have a good weekend?
I was just telling someone that I think the most fun that was had was by people who are getting to enjoy just talking with each other and being creative and inspired. And I kind of missed out on that. But then I realized that my role that I got to play, which was making sure that all of those people got taken care of and, like, I don't know, so what would be kind of boring stuff, like making sure there's a PA system or making sure there's pizza and beer or whatever, the taking care of all those people and playing host to them was like the best role I could possibly have. And it was really, really fun. At the same time, as I'm super looking forward to future Sync Summits where that's not my role and I get to be just one of the people hanging out, talking about all the shit that it was getting talked about. That, like, I can't tell you how many amazing conversations I got to be a part of and then had to leave because something needed to get taken care of. And floating in that way, like sort of hopping on the lily pads of interesting conversations from problem to awesome inspiration to solving the problem to awesome inspiration to, you know, it was great. It was super great. I had a great time. Yeah.
Were you guys aware that at the very same weekend, Coast to Coast was doing a similar type event called Contact in the Desert, which featured David Wilcock, who wrote The Synchronicity Key?
I heard about that. There's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, 8-8, I mean, we're not going to be the only people who hone in on 8-8 as a date. There's a lot of energy there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and so that just struck me as really interesting because they specifically said contact in the desert, and this was definitely contact in the rainforest.
Can you hear us in the desert? Yes, you can. Can you see us on the mountain? I guess you can. That's right. Little spearhead there for you. Really poorly rendered spearhead. Yeah, I loved your piece, your 42 minutes with Will. The two things that didn't get covered, I don't know if you've gone into it, but first of all, Will didn't give himself, even though he did a pretty good job of saying it went well, he really didn't give himself enough of a patting on the back, which is understandable. It's hard to pat yourself on the back, but he really, his presentation really blew people away. And I'm sure you've already talked about Suicide Kings.
No, we haven't.
Alan premiered the first 8 minutes or eight something minutes of his film Suicide Kings, and that was, you know, I'm a part of it, so I guess I'm biased, but I think everyone was impressed with just like the level that everyone's stepping up to, whether it's Joe's film, his Back to the Future predicts 9/11. Alan's Suicide Kings. I think it's interesting. They're both following in the footsteps or like riding on the, like not even riding on the coattails, fulfilling on the possibility that's created by Room 237 in some really interesting ways. And it makes me think that there's going to be a wave of feature length sync films that are coming. And, you know, I think you felt that for a while too, Doug, but I definitely feel like this movement is maturing and we're going to see the fruits of it in the not too distant future.
One of the things we didn't touch on was the Skype in with Rodney Asher. Were there two Skype ins or only one?
I used the restroom at some point, so I'm checking with you.
You're on a microphone.
say that again, sorry, Doug.
The question I had was, one thing that Will and I didn't mention was Rodney Asher. Did he Skype in twice over the course of the weekend, or one time
let me just jump in, because you were in it, Alan, and I want to be able to like give you kudos for what you did. So leading into it, there was a phrase that someone, I don't remember who said it, maybe Alan can remember, but someone said, "I leave all the important decisions to chance," which I think was just great and was sort of the guiding principle. I think, I don't know, even before I heard it, it's my guiding principle. When I heard it, it clarified it. And so I hadn't watched Rodney's film. I just, you know, and I didn't communicate to Alan that he was supposed to introduce it and be the curator and the one who talks with Rodney. So while we were setting stuff up, when you watch the video, you'll see Rodney is sort of like dubious of like, wait, they haven't watched my film and these guys are in a tent somewhere in a backyard and what am I doing? And then he showed this film, and at the same time, Alan, I'm saying, Alan, you're in charge here. I'm going to run sound, but you got it. You're the host of this. He's like, I am.
And the film he showed, was it his mega mix?
No, it was a film called Wishman Directs, about just a weird synchy experience that he had that syncs with the film Hugo, except that instead of it being Georges Méliès, it's a woman who was a contemporary of Russ Meyer, an exploitation / porn film director from the 50s, who he ended up working with in the mid 80s when she was elderly, directing a music video that he was a part of. And so we showed that, and it was very strange, very out there. And Alan, after it was done, Alan just sort of jumped in and gave like a Dick Cavett style interview of Rodney Asher that like tied what he was doing into Room 237, elegantly seeped into a discussion of his new film Nightmare. And I think when people see it, it's a great little snapshot of not just where Rodney Asher is, which it is, but also of some super quick sync thinking, which I think was, you know, in part Alan and in part the group mind that was going on that he was able to tap into. I don't know, Alan, if you'll agree, but that was my experience of it.
Sure. Yeah, I had no idea what the hell I was doing. I tapped into the sun. I surrendered to something, and everyone told me how amazing it was, but it was totally shamanic. I was like, holy shit, I have to do this. Whoa, okay. And then just suddenly it just happened. So,
And this was on Saturday, which was a day of presentations by these various contributors.
This was Saturday night.
Saturday night. And that was...
So we had Saturday... So Friday night was Radio 8 Ball. Then Saturday morning, we did the Tree Walk.
Here's something. Then, were you able to let go of your role as facilitator during Radio 8 Ball, Alan, and enjoy that? Or did you still have to play a role guiding the flow of the evening?
I did some assisting. I did assist in some ways with some running some video and collecting some cards and stuff like that. It wasn't nearly, it wasn't as nearly energy intensive as anything that Andras or his crew had to do. But it was just a taste of Saturday for me, of not really being in it, you know.
Okay, but as far as how many Radio 8 Balls have you witnessed at this point?
Well,
that'll be your third, right?
Three, yeah. Each of the sync summits. I will say this. So I want to talk about I just want to say what I do realize is, even if it wasn't particularly labor intensive, it was, people are starting to come into town. Some people are still missing. Some people, whatever.
Right.
So there's still like, you're still kind of coordinating the community, even if you're not working on the show in that respect. But I have to say, just as I was able to observe a lot of things throughout this weekend, observing Radio 8 Ball is always really an enjoyable experience. And particularly the musician that Andras got for this Radio 8 Ball, I was just kind of running around and doing crazy shit, and suddenly this guy starts singing, and I'm like, whoa, who is this guy? It stopped me in my tracks. I was running like a chicken with its head cut off, and suddenly I hear this guy, Peter. Is it Peter David Connolly?
Yeah, Peter David Connolly. His band is the Mona Reels. Everything he records is under the name the Mona Reels. R-E-E-L-S.
Were they performing their own music, or was it?
Yes. He was performing his own music with a couple of songs backed by the Radio 8 band, which are the band, the Radio 8 Ball's house band. But mostly it was him playing solo. And I've known him since he was like 16 or 17, and now he's in his early 30s, and he's made probably 7 CDs, and they're amazing. Yeah, it was a very conscious choice to book him to be the first, like, of the TV series. The first episode was a tribute show to the Posies, with introducing the local house band, the Radio 8 band, as the band that can play anybody's music. But it was a very conscious choice to have Peter be the first sort of solo artist performing their own music on the TV show. He's always been great, and he just keeps getting better.
What was the audience response, Alan, to the Radio 8 Ball?
Oh, everybody was really into it. Like, everyone was couldn't stop talking about how good the music was, and then everyone's sort of whispering in the aisles, as the song's going like, oh, do you see what happened there? Do you see what happened there? Or what do you know, like, people kind of looking around the room to see, did you catch that? Did you catch that?
What about, like, I think in Berkeley you had a number, were the people on stage kind of facilitating the dissection of the sync? Was that the same?
Not for this one. For this one, it was really... I was expecting or hoping, and that can create weird frequencies in putting on the show, to hope for anything to go a certain way. I was hoping that more synchromistics would get picked, but the only two were, and they ended up asking the most potent questions, were Brielle Garling and Violator Hellspawn. She goes by something else online. Brielle's question and Violator's question, I think, got the most intense response and are going to be the core of the next TV show.
Then you've seen some footage.
Yeah, I have seen some footage. I have seen some footage.
And so that means that there is footage that will be released at some point in time.
Yeah, I wish we could get it out faster. But Alan and I have talked a lot about sort of how to.
I don't know.
Cut it up and get it out there as fast as we possibly can, and then the Radio 8 Ball show's on its own production schedule. The Radio 8 Ball show will come out. Yeah, go on.
Can I just interrupt and say, not only is there some footage, but We were helped out by people from the Olympia Film Collective, who got really high resolution video. It looks incredible. I also want to shout out to Bo G, who also a lot. And huge thanks to Bo G.
But so my original question was, who was on stage with Shmushkin interpreting the answers?
Peter David Connolly, the artist.
Okay.
The person whoever was asking the question, and Shmushkin.
Okay. And so what, I mean, it seemed like in Berkeley, it was an intimate enough venue that you, it ended up having a lot of participation from a lot of different people. Was that the case here, or was it?
Well, what's different here is that with this, we are in the process of producing a TV show.
Uh-huh.
What I'll say is that the interactions by the Sinkheads in Berkeley were part of the inspiration for the way the TV show is going, where we've added in these Sinkheads that Alan animated and that Gen X and other cast members have done the voices for, where after each segment, we go to these people who talk to us about, who sort of play the role that the Sinkheads played at the Bay Area Sink Summit.
Gotcha.
Give us context, insight that you might not accept, I think even more potently because it's after the fact.
Uh-huh.
So you can, you know, we didn't know at the time that Robin Williams was going to die, but maybe when we go and look at, or was going to kill himself, when we go and watch the video, we may feel that, we may see that. And the Sinkheads, although right now that seems like a really crass thing to bring up, might, in retrospect, by the time it comes out, be a potent...
Are you kidding? My phone's been ringing all day with everyone telling me I killed Robin Williams because of the Suicide Kings video. I feature Robin Williams as the Fisher King, the Suicide Fisher King in the video that I premiered Saturday night.
You remember, well, one of the great things that Will Morgan said is like, it was his Patton moment. It was the moment, I think, where his piece, his talk, just took flight, when he's like, we're not saving lives, people. We watch a lot of fucking movies. and I would say the same thing, Alan. We're not killing people here. We watch a lot of fucking movies.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyone who says that doesn't get it. It's like we have chosen to opt out of that by, you know, playing with images. I mean, you can't. No way. Depression, chemistry, life choices, whatever. I will say this. I've been trying to think about this. I think this is I can't think of a bigger loss to the comedy community, which, I mean, the Fools, right? You were talking about it on the piece that you thought that Doug, you're saying that in 42 minutes that Robin Williams was the Fool. And
what does that mean?
Well, so
I mean, is this part of the cycle? Like this
when
is
when the Fool ends, like, yeah, I don't, aside from what it means, try and think of it. Like, I'm just thinking of it in context. Like the closest I can think of is John Belushi, but John Belushi, at least when you die of an overdose, it's an accident. You can think that he was having fun before it, but to have one of the most beloved comedians in the world kill himself, it's shocking. It's you know, if we're going to be cheap about it, it's like that moment in the
movie.
What?
I would have explained it to you before it happened. This is my Jason Barrera answer. I already explained it before it happened.
That was 42 minutes, guys, but we can continue on and reach some kind of... I hear you, Ezra. Tell us quickly what... well, not quickly. Ezra, what do you take from the Sink Summit with you back to Portland?
Well, for one thing, James Evan Pilato and I had not met before, so I wasn't even aware so much of his work. I had heard of Media Monarchy, but we hadn't ever spoken, and so that was it was nice to expand the local community here in Portland. Also, this is my second time participating with Andras in the Radio 8 Ball show, and so it was just a pleasure to see how consistently we're able to draw a significant crowd, and people really get involved and enjoy it, and real synchronicity happens, and what I noticed over the course of the weekend was we were recognizing deeper and deeper levels of meaning that could be derived from things that happened during the stage show. And so over the course of, especially on Saturday, you know, I was talking a lot with David about some of the things that, some of the connections we were drawing in our own minds and seeing how they related or how they differed. So that was a pleasure, feeling like there was a whole sync hive mind happening and we each had our own piece.
You know, I don't know if anyone talked about this, but one thing that was really, I thought one of the highlights of the Kabbalistic, the walk of the Kabbalistic tree was Ezra laying out his tone color alchemy cards and intoning the tone of that Sephiroth. It was one of those things that I had no idea was going to happen. And even as it was happening, it wasn't until like he'd done it a couple of times that I realized how amazing it was.
And by intoning, are you saying that he sang the pitch?
He played them on a melodica.
Yeah.
And it was just, it's.
And so you resonated in the correct frequency.
Yeah. And it was, it's recorded there, and it was beautiful.
It's actually a traditional ritual in the Golden Dawn that carried over into the builders of the Adytum. Paul Foster Case's Kabbalistic Mystery School in Los Angeles, and there's one up in Seattle too. But this is like early 1900s, like around 1920 through 1930 especially, this stuff was really hot. And they were doing ceremonial magic with Kabbalah and invoking the different spheres of the Tree of Life in a ceremonial context. So I thought it would be interesting to bring the Tone Color Alchemy tarot cards, which are built on those same tone color correspondences and all the same zodiacal astrological correspondences, and actually empower the Kabbalistic tour through the Tree of Olympia, not just through words, but also through music and actual traditional ceremonial magic.
Cool. So we really missed something there, is what you guys are saying.
It was cool to see how certain spheres had, for example, when we were at Netzach, which is the seventh sphere and has to do with Venus, we were, you would spell out each sphere. So, for example, Netzach is spelled Nun, Sadik, Chet. Those are three letters in Hebrew. And the third, see each one of these musical notes and each one of these letters. When you have three of them, you have a chord. So the root of the musical chord generated by Netzach was a sort of an orange-yellow color, and that was precisely the color of the flowers that were blooming in the pot where we were doing the ceremony. And so it's an example of synchronicity that just manifested in the moment, and I noticed that that happened a number of times throughout the walk. So it was just cool to see the elements of synchronicity in real time, as opposed to, let's say, for example, reflecting on a major political news story or a movie that we all like, or something more sort of secondary to our direct felt experience present.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing, having watched a little bit of the footage, and I guess I'm just going to put this out there right now, even though it's like a terrifying thing for me to think of taking on, considering how much work it is just producing Radio 8 Ball. But when I'm looking at the footage, I'm thinking, well, this footage is okay and it's good for whatever we're going to put out from the Olympia Sync Summit, but it looks more like a piece or the beginning of a documentary about the artifact. And in that regard, again, so grateful to have access to so many experts in this field. Because the stuff that Ezra's talking about right now is like, the reason I bring it up is because I wish I was filming him while we're recording this now. Maybe this is part of the documentary. I don't know. But I feel like there was a whole other level of accidental initiation that happened with having so many people who were in that sync hive mind sharing that that walk and that tree. And just sort of like Will was saying, all the talents, all the different visions and views of it. It's overwhelming. I'm still processing it, actually.
All right. Well, Alan, Andras, this was your baby. Would you want to do it again?
The little possessed girl in The Exorcist says when the priest asks her, did you do that? She says, yes. I'll tell you, because since you're not answering. And then he says, do it again. And she responds, in due time.
It's so funny because that was written by Peter Blatty, William Peter Blatty, and he's the guy who wrote The Ninth Configuration, the film that you referenced in the 42 minutes but didn't get that Will referenced in the 42 minutes but didn't remember the name of.
Yeah.
Which was an inspiration for the Attic expeditions that I was in.
Oh.
So super sneaky William Peter Blatty. And he had a whole thing about recording ghosts. Like, he was like one of the big proponents of setting recording equipment, recording equipment in empty rooms and supposedly haunted houses and recording ghosts. And that's some crazy shit that happened with him that he wrote about. In a less esoteric answer, absolutely, I want to do this again. I want to do this again in Olympia, you know, next summer on 8/8. But I think also, I was talking to someone today and I was saying that I think this creates a really interesting opportunity for anyone who's into sync and feels like they can gather people and a consensus around it, that sync summits should be happening wherever people are inspired to create them.
Wherever there are networks to facilitate something like this.
To facilitate it, to support it. And what I'll say, the one thing I'll say to anyone who is interested in doing one, is that one of the reasons this worked is because we did it in a place that we could afford to do it in. Olympia is a pretty cheap place to put on an event. And we also put in many months doing fundraising with the help, and we're able to fund it with the help of, you know, the participants and the people who wanted to see it happen, and raised, you know, $5,000 and, you know, plus some of our own investment. But basically that's what it costs to do it cheaply in Olympia. And that meant just putting people up, helping people get here. And that doesn't even include, you know, how much resources people put in for free to make that happen. That's with nobody getting paid anything. A few people got a little help with their travel expenses because we really wanted them to be there, but because they were coming from far away. But aside from that, it was a labor of love, and it still cost a lot of money. And there are people that can support it. So I think. And maybe I hope you agree with me, Alan. I think what we've done is created a model for what can be done with a sync event. And I for one would love to see it emulated and improved upon. And I would love to be invited to the event where someone makes it better. Because I think that would be a really fun event to be at.
Hell yeah. I want to be there. Me and you will sit in the back row, smoke a joint.
We can leave.
All right, before we go, were there? I was hinting at it with JJ. Tell me about the crazy drugs. Did anybody bring the really good stuff?
Nobody. Somebody brought them, but nobody did them.
You guys didn't need them.
That's an honest answer. Yeah,
you didn't need them.
Didn't need them.
That's awesome.
Actually, it is something I was saying to Alan. While I was really events like this, like weekend long events where people who are sort of progressively, you know, minded come together. Three things usually occur. Yeah, there's the crazy drug taking, over drug taking. There's there's like sexual drama, and then there's political drama. And what I'll say is it was really wonderful to be in a group where everyone came together. Everyone was so into what we were doing that there was none of any of those three things.
And everyone was so pleasant and respect. So like no one got like shit faced drunk and made an ass of themselves. No one got into a fight. No one, you know, tried to suck their balls into somebody's face, you know, like. But not just that, like not just these extreme examples, but I mean, everyone was genuinely an awesome person to be with. Like it was like a group of like really cool people that you just, there was no reason for drama because everyone was really cool.
And who were the people that you hadn't met that, like, who are the awesome people? It's like, man, I'm really glad I met this person or that person.
It's, you know, first of all, I want to say that it's really, that's a really hard thing to answer because it singles people out and it makes people, it unsingles other people out. But I think there also are nodes of connection that are really valuable that came out of it that were, you know, specific and huge. But almost, and correct, I just, if you don't think I'm right here, Alan, you can jump in, but rather than naming particular individuals, I think you should just watch the collaborations that are going to come in and you'll see. And I think that a year from now, we'll be able to look back at the Olympia Sync Summit and say, oh yeah, that's where so-and-so met so-and-so and they did this. Fucking A. You know, that, but I don't want to like, I really
no,
don't
that's wanna, okay.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah, I like that.
At the same time, as like I have my favorites that I fucking loved. And you'll see. They're going to show up in my projects because I met some people who I feel like were real super kindred spirits. And if anyone who is listening and you don't get called by me, then if you think I was the kindred spirit and you didn't get called, then you should call me because that's because we're all in the sync together. And there's I got it out of the 42 minutes that you did. It was a great thing to hit on was how much that sense of like we have all the talents. What do we want to do? We want to make a movie. We want to make a TV show. We want to make a, you know, what do we want to do?
The world is our oyster.
Really?
Yeah, and a toxic oyster from the bottom of a toxic ocean. Oh, but it's ours.
Yeah.
Cheers. Brought to you by the people who brought you Robin Williams suicide.
And we started our event on Friday with the bombing of Iraq, the reintroduction of a war in Iraq.
You're right.
And ended with Robin Williams suicide. It was a lot of fun.
It's true. Oh my God. Thank you for reminding us, Alan. You're the only person darker than me. Well, that I know. Oh, who has a sense of humor?
Well, I hope, as we've talked many times, there's some really horrible shit happening in the world, but hopefully this is a nice counterbalance to that. Like, I would like to think if the world works as a sort of, you know, we talk about Apollonian versus Dionysian energies, I would like to think we are doing something that is
positive
in a world with a lot of negativity. Yeah,
we're not saving lives, people. We watch a lot of fucking movies. Will Morton.
I'm actually, I'd like to save some lives. I don't think I am at the moment, but I'd sure like to.
Well, here's a question. Has art ever saved, like, I feel like art has saved my life.
Yeah, same here. And Ezra's saying yes also. Oh yeah.
But is that that's not like an immediate thing, is it? Is it something that – so like oftentimes one of the concerns is that we put so much time into these books and then, you know, they don't necessarily make as big a splash as you would hope initially, but they have so much compression. There's so much in the books that they can be rewarding for a long period of time. They can give well into the future because there's so much depth to them.
Well, a book that's a total failure in sales could be the most valuable book in the world to one person. You know, that sucks for you as an author. You only sold 10 books and one of them saved somebody's life. But, you know, there are certain people. I know I'm kind of like that. Like, if I have a book that nobody else has read, I'm more likely to let it in. Or a book that everybody's read. It's those books in the middle I don't trust.
JJ's still here. If you want to, Andres, I don't think you know that. Doug?
Well, yeah, we probably should shut it down here pretty soon. Does anyone have any closing thoughts? Anything that they didn't get to say? JJ, what about you? Is there anything that you want to say?
If I could learn English. And be able to to find my roles more easily, it will be awesome. That's all what I wanted to say.
Well, it was nice to meet you.
Me too. It was awesome.
If you got to hang out with JJ, you would feel his inspiration. It's kind of amazing. I would be very intimidated to go and hang out with a bunch of French sync heads. We all talk very fast, and we reference things that are very obscure and have different are films that have and TV shows that have different titles in his country. And then, you know, a lot of us just to like to use funny words and syntax just to be clever with each other. And the idea of hanging out with a bunch of people who spoke a different language and were doing that is so daunting to me that I can honestly say I probably would never do it. And I'm so impressed that JJ came all this way and and somehow can feel the sync. Maybe I should go and hang out with a bunch of French sync heads, because maybe you can feel the sync past the language. It's like he's like Neo and we're just ones and zeros floating. Yeah.
Actually, I do understand everything you're referencing.
Really?
Yeah, I do understand everything. It's more when I start to speak that there is a problem, you know. But I do understand everything. Pretty awesome. Much everything.
That's great. That's excellent. Well, kudos to you, and I look forward to your to more of your reflections.
Yeah,
as we go.
Yeah,
and I look forward to more of your videos. I think they're great. Yeah.
Thank you.
And for our listeners who aren't aware, I think your blog, JJ, is Sync of It All, which is Sync of It All at blogspot.com, or is that right?
No, that's Guillaume's blog.
Yeah, I mixed those two up. You are
okay. The name of my blog is La Gâchette Cosmique, LAGACHETTECOSMYQUE. It is basically Cosmic Trigger translated into French.
Okay.
And this is my blog, and the only one.
Okay.
And the name is in French, but I just write in English.
What's the last? It's the last part of it. La gâchette.
Cosmic, like cosmic, but with a Q U E at the end instead of the C.
Oh, French is so cool.
Cosmic.
Hey, and I just want to shout out
Gâchette Cosmic. Ah, awesome.
If people check out the YouTube and Vimeo pages for SyncBook Press, you're going to see a lot of these really cool videos that are like trailers for podcasts that we've done. Those are made by JJ, and they're fucking sickly awesome. Like, check that out. Go to Vimeo and YouTube and check out these videos. They're really, really slick and really nice.
All right. Well, do you have any parting thoughts, Andras, Alan, or Ezra?
Ezra's gone.
Well,
wait, you have to understand. We're all. It's a.
I understand. No, I understand.
Well, Alan, did everyone get everything that they needed to get?
If that's your way of asking on air, did I give the files to Bo Gia? I'm seeing him tomorrow.
Oh, okay. We're not on. At this point, we're just getting.
Quick and dirty, Doug. 42.
So, Doug, if I send you a Mona Reel song right now, can you put that in the music for this?
Yeah, totally.
Cool.
So last thoughts is it was absolutely incredible. And I, for everyone who was there, I can't wait to see you all again. It was a pleasure meeting you. And to everyone who wasn't there, please make sure you're there next time, because it's something incredible.
Here's something, a stupid idea I had, but I'm just curious. And I think, Alan, you were already kind of vetoing it a little bit, and I kind of am too. The idea that Burning Man happens every year and it's something really, really interesting intrigues me. And I know that we would meet people there that would understand what we do and that we could do something really cool there as a community. Does that interest you guys at all, or does that sound just like a lot
of... It sounds really loud. It's really... I mean, I don't know how you can... I mean, yes, it's synchronicity, but... I've been to...
people weren't... This wasn't like a party, which there's room for that, but this... I don't know. Like, what seems to happen is people are just... The reason I think people never shut up talking is because they're just so happy to have found people that understand each other, and it's the conversations. I don't know if, like, Andros and I actually felt like we programmed too much content. The lecture, you cut me off before, but we did lectures during the day on Saturday. We did videos at the night on Saturday. We did Radio 8 Ball on Friday. There was, you know, Scott Onstop, Marty Weed, James Evan Pilato, Swami Anantananda Giri were during the day. On Saturday, that's what I got cut off saying before. Like, there was a lot of stuff happening. Then we'd break for hanging out, and then it never felt like it was enough time. And we just, so I'm thinking, rather than making it more complicated, it's almost like it needs to be less so. Like, we need to
or spread out over more time.
Yeah. Something.
I think it's one of the keys. It is actually. I don't feel like we overprogrammed. I actually feel like it was the perfect amount of programming because you know, it's like the old showbiz thing, leave them wanting more, but in the sense of the show are those conversations, and maybe that's how we avoided some of the pitfalls, is that we didn't give people time for drama. It's like, if you get time to talk with, if you've been listening to somebody's podcast for 5 years and you get 45 minutes to talk with them, you're going to bring everything to the table, because that's like, you're not going to get into the bullshit. And I thought the presentations, actually, I thought the presentations were amazing. And I feel sad that, in a weird way, Joe and David's presentations didn't get the, and also Ezra's. Some of our best didn't get the best representation. It's like Woodstock, you know. Creedence Clearwater's revival's set supposedly sucked. They were in a bad time slot. The PA system wasn't working, you know. But that's the set you wanted to see, you know. And then Will Morgan steps up and he's Richie Havens. There you go.
That reference, yeah.
Now he's, in one day, Will Morgan has been Richie Havens and James Brown. How soulful is that?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I can't believe he said that. I had to put the cloak on me and take me off stage. I was just too awesome.
I was laughing my ass off when he said that. Now, Will Morgan, this was the weekend that I saw Will Morgan, not just as one of the talented, crazy people that I know who I'm super, like, is a great friend, but as a star. Like, he definitely shone. He shined this weekend. It was great. It was really great. We missed you, Doug. Fuck, man. We did miss you. It would have been great to have you there.
Yep.
I know. I know. I totally get it. I don't want you to feel bad about
it. No, I don't. I had to make peace with it. And, you know.
Hey, can we end this here? Guess what? You know what else today is?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. You want to sing?
I don't know. I don't want to sing.
Let's sing.
I don't want to sing.
Oh, you know what? I'll tell you is that someone at the Reef, I went by the Reef, a place that Alan got to know while he was here, King Solomon's Reef. And there was a guy there who sang me, he works in a Lutheran church, and he sang me happy birthday, but inverted. So it was totally atonal. I can't do it. Ezra would, you know, I wish Ezra was here, because he might be able to decode that particular magic. But it's the only way, like, I'm going to become like this weird snobby connoisseur of happy birthdays. Like, unless you can sing it to me inverted.
Well,
I don't.
What about
I'm not
JJ?
Interested.
Are you still sitting there?
Yeah.
How do you guys sing happy birthday in France? Is it the same as the traditional American way?
That. Thank you. It's joyeux anniversaire. So
is there a song that goes with it?
What?
Is there a song? Can you sing it to Andras? It's his birthday.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear it in French.
I'm not a good singer, but I can try.
Oh, please do.
Joyeux anniversaire. Joyeux anniversaire. Joyeux anniversaire, Andras. Joyeux anniversaire.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Happy birthday, Andras.
Thank you. This whole weekend has been the best birthday I've had in a long time. So thank you all.
No, thank you guys. A lot of people missed out, and I don't think they'll do that another time.
You know what? But they didn't miss out because we filmed this. I mean, everything except the experience. You might have missed out on the experience, and yes, come to the, we, you know, do, honestly, Doug, do one in Boise. I would love to be a part
We're
of it.
We're
going to
do one in Boise. Place. We're going to do one.
Yeah, so I'm super excited about that. And I'm also saying you didn't miss out because you're going to get to see when we're talking this what Will did, what Alan did, what Ezra did, what Shmushkin did, what Scott and Marty and Swami and James Evan Pilato and David Plate and Joe Alexander and everybody else who was just a part of it and got interviewed. Everyone who was there. You're going to get the experience. You will get the experience. We have the skills. We can do it.
Yeah.
And we have the
technology.
You know what?
We can build the $6 million.
The consensus, though, is it's like the magic between sets, like with the people of your own.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That you can't, I mean.
It's true.
You can't
but
recreate
you can feel
it. You can't capture all. You can't capture all the magic, but we can at least.
You can share the magic, but to really feel the magic, you got to be there.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I do hope we do. I hope we get to go back to that garden again. The only thing is, it's one of the weird things, is it only works if we're small. Once this gets big, it's going to be a whole other thing. And I'm not against that. I'm actually a proponent of that because I think that sync is something that is certainly not something we don't own, and once and as we make it look fun to play with, other people are going to want to play with it, and it will get big. But there was something very special about getting just like the sync cabin, and you were there for that. You were there for both sync cabins. I was only there for one. The smallness of it is precious, and getting to just be able, even though I didn't get to hang out with anyone, I still feel like I got to hang out with everyone who was there. And that's a very, you know, we're in the golden times of sync.
Yeah, when it's, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. And let's get out of these golden times and move into the profitable times as soon as possible. Yeah. Before everyone has to quit and get day jobs that suck the life out of them.
Yeah.
But
it's a lot of work for some metaphorical gold.
Yeah.
But it was a beautiful that was beautiful about this.
Yeah.
That it could all be contained in a small garden that seemed huge in comparison to the number of people who were there. And that was great. You know?
Yeah. It's just exactly. It maintained its intimacy and everyone was able to sort of make the rounds and make connections and you know, chat with everyone and It was pretty fucking special.
And at the same time, I'm telling you, the footage captures, like, I'm watching.
Footage looks great. Footage looks great.
It doesn't just look great. It sounds great. The ideas are great. The feeling is great. The intensity of it is great. It does capture. I'll tell you, the only parts that I really got to experience because I was running sound were the presentations and peripherally all that other part. And the presentations are great. Like, it's great content. And getting to see it and getting to see, you feel that energy you feel the energy of someone getting to talk to people who they know get it, which is huge. It's different than, you know, yeah, it's different than you probably see than these people in other settings where they're having to get people up to speed. So anyway, I'm excited. I have to be because I'm now going to start cutting.
Well,
cutting and cutting and cutting and cutting.
All right. Well, that was cool. And that was 42 minutes. Well, it's actually like 74 minutes, 75 minutes. We're going to resume our vacation after this. And just want everyone to know that Philip K. Dick month is coming in September. I think we've got... Will and I have a number of really good shows lined up. Got some things for the Halloween season that are going to be really special too. So you're going to want to stay tuned to that. And then, of course, 42 Minutes is your go-to place for all the information of the Sync community, whether that's SyncBook Press or, you know, anything that's coming up around the bend. We're usually here telling you what's going on. So stay tuned, people. And we'll see you next time around. So... have a great rest of the month and happy birthday, Andras. And everyone, take care.
And Rodney.
Oh, Rodney and Tommy.
And
too.
James Evan Pilato was yesterday.
And JJ was Thursday. Yeah. So lots of Leos.
Den of Lions.
And we'll call that good.
All right. We got to run because we're supposed to go over to Steve Wilner's house for dinner.
Okay. Well, you guys take care. And. Thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you both. It was great.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Three little fingers put the deadbolt in the hollow of the door. And at the corner of my bed last night, I prayed like I had never done before. Dear Jesus, dear Jesus, every time I fall in love, I don't know how to do it sweetly. Talking shit about your favorite band, or just freaking out completely. And I wanna be a beauty mark, I wanna be your best friend. But deep inside, I know I'm gonna blow it again. When a straight man's condescending, he is nothing less than a criminal to me. The culture made him. God, how I hate him. 'Cause every time he falls in love, he don't know how to do it sweetly. Talking shit about your favorite band, or just freaking out. Be your best. side. I